We now go live behind the scenes with an all-access look of Mark Bergevin attempting to make trades with his fellow NHL general managers. This is Joe Sakic speaking, worst snowblower in all of Denver.
Joe, this is Mark, Mark Bergevin. I need your help. My team is losing badly and we're sinking in the standings. I want you to know that I'm ready to trade Alex Galchenyuk for Matty Duchene.
You want me to give you Matt Duchene for your fourth liner? I'll tell you what, when you have any more Sven Andrighettos lying around that you want to give up on, give me a call. This is Ron Hextall speaking, angry goalie of the 80s and 90s with a 5-hole the size of a Rocky statue. What do you want?
Hextall, it's Bergevin. Stop yelling, and by the way, it was great golfing with you last month. Listen, I need a huge favor. And I know you said you wanted more speed and
I'm
talent
angry.
In the top six. But I'm ready to trade Galchenyuk, our third overall
I'm
pick,
always
pound
angry.
For pound, one of the best Russian players in the world. Make this happen, Hextall. You owe me
angry.
One.
Galchenyuk's playing on your fourth line. I'll give you Dale Weiss. Garth Snow speaking. Good friend of Charles Wong.
Garth, we both know who I want. Give me John Tavares, and I'll give you Alex Galchenyuk, Jordy Benn, Jeff Petrie, Andrew Shaw, Yuppie, and four first-round draft picks.
You want John Tavares for your fourth liner? Here's what I can do for you. I've got this left-winger with a moderate upside. Listen to me here, Mark. We drafted him in the sixth round of the 2017 draft. He's on the smaller side. I know you don't need more of these, but here's the key. His name is Arno Durando.
Whoa, wait a minute. Is he French?
You betcha. He's from Beaconsfield, a suburb of Montreal.
Mon Dieu, zut de l'or! Send over the paperwork!
Good doing business with ya.
So there you have it. Problem solved. I think Mark Bergevin is going to save the day, man. You are good to go.
Amazing how he can swing those deals.
He's a magician, but I think he's on his last trick because it seems to me like he's about ready to do one last kind of hurrah, one last gasp to try to salvage the season. And I'm wondering, are you worried about that? I mean, what if he goes out and makes a crazy trade and then gets fired 2 weeks later? I guess you got to be concerned about whether or not he sells the farm.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be interesting to see. If he gets the green light to make a blockbuster trade, that'll essentially be another vote of confidence for Mark moving forward. And it's funny because today Jeff Molson was talking about some new condo releases that were coming out in Montreal that they were doing some project. And of course the questions were about the state of the team and Mark Bergevin, and he gave him his vote of confidence. So we all know how those can quickly change in the sporting world. But right now, Molson is happy with the job that Bergevin has done and the team that he's put forward. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to happen very quickly because tonight is kind of our big backup goalie jamboree. You've got Al Montoya going on the road against the Kings, and we've got Curtis McElhinney trying to stave off the Calvin Picard sweepstakes here in Toronto.
Yeah, what's going on? What happened to Calvin? Where's he?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think they want to give Curtis a chance to show that he belongs. Because I don't think it's a big deal whether or not they call him up right away. There's no question, though, the reason they went after him in the first place is because he's probably one of the best backup goalies you'll find in the NHL. I mean, look, this is one of those guys that is a really good part. And I think it was very cool that they found him because when was the last time the Toronto Maple Leafs had a decent backup goalie? You know, I was going to say James Reimer, but then I'll be offending half the Leaf fans out there who think that James Reimer was a starter.
James Reimer, he was arguably the most popular Maple Leaf in town for a while, no?
Yeah, he was. He was. He was up there with Ty Domi and Darcy Tucker.
Yeah.
My triumvirate, Hall of Fame, popular Maple Leafs.
I'm surprised that Austin Matthews is allowed to wear his number.
And so we go back to the Maple Leafs' time-honored tradition of besmirching their own history by not properly retiring numbers. Did you just sneeze, by the way?
No, I coughed. Trying to hold it in, but I couldn't.
No, it's a big game for you this evening, and I'm thinking to myself, would you have maybe started Price yesterday and brought him in tonight to take on the Kings, or are you happy with the way that Julian is using his whole schedule and his starting goaltender?
Well, that's been the mandate ever since Price had the big injury, was they won't play him in back-to-back situations. So they've got Montoya going tonight, second of a back-to-back after losing to San Jose pretty badly last night.
Yeah.
Against a hot Los Angeles team, against a very hot Drew Doughty, who seems to be playing as if he really wants that big free agent deal. A resurgent Anze Kopitar. New management, new coach, new LA Kings. They're looking really good. Doesn't look very good for Montreal tonight.
No, and Kopitar chose to get hot at the worst possible time for you, because after whatever the heck last year was, I mean, I had him in the pool and he was just terrible. He was just a terrible player all year. I think he finished with... I think he had a big surge in the last month of the season and finished with double-digit goals. But for a while there, it looked like Anze Kopitar was going to finish with like 9 goals, making like $7.5 million.
Yeah, I think I don't think he got to 15. I don't think he got to 15. After that big signing, too. What are you going to do?
Well, listen, it's all about relative player value. And one guy right now that's standing out for the Leafs, you have to admit, is Connor Brown. I mean, the kid makes $2.1 million. Yeah, he's starting to get on the wrong side of 20, as you like to say. But on a team that needs good parts to step in for slumping players, how awesome is it to see him step up and score that game-winning goal last night?
Yeah, it's good. Maybe you can get some more Source for Sports ads and sponsorship deals.
Poor kid, he gets the scraps off the Austin Matthews table, so to speak.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a big thing for Connor Brown, because Connor is essentially replacing the Marner spot, no? How did Marner do on that fourth line?
He was all right. I mean, the problem with Mitch Marner, as I see it, is Babcock can't figure out who to let him play with that really takes full advantage of his skill set. I mean, this guy's a baller. This guy's an elite prospect. This guy's someone that deserves mention in the same breath as Austin Matthews.
Whoa.
But I can't help but feel, though, that he's being relegated more and more to this position of being a support player. I think it's all right now about Wee Willie Nylander and the great Austin Matthews. It's amazing how Marner suddenly become like this slight afterthought for fans who are like, yeah, he'll break out of his funk. If he does well, it would be a great bonus. Well, no, it's absolutely crucial. If Mitch Marner doesn't do well, you're going to suffer in your depth.
Have they expressed exactly why Mitchy was put down on the fourth line? Are they not happy with his defensive game? Are they not happy with his production? What are they not happy with?
I think we need to go back to like episode 3 or 4 and listen to one of our sketches where we kind of took a closer look at his medical examination. And it's exactly what you suspected. He's getting pushed off the puck. He's just not big enough. He's not solid enough. And Babcock has a problem with skill finesse players who can't stay on the puck and control it. And he's been losing it left, right, and center all year.
So us calling him a boy child was not far off at all.
Well, no, I prefer to call him a studly teenager in the making, because this is a kid who, if he can put on some weight and continue to develop his skills, has a chance to be easily a top six forward for the next decade in this league. These are just growing pains. This is just the inevitable thing that you need to do when you've got a coach who's basically an autocrat. You know, like King Babcock will decide his fate. And right now he's basically saying, hey, you got to earn your playing time on the top lines because we've got a lot of depth on this team.
That's true. With a lot of depth comes a lot of options. And you can't slack on a Babcock team or else you're going to get moved down.
Oh, no. Definitely not. And if anyone knows what that's about, it's the team that's coming into town this evening to face them. I mean, it's Zetterberg, a bunch of young, hopeful, promising rookies, and they're off to a pretty good start, so good for them. This will be a heck of a game in terms of symbolism.
Yeah, there wasn't any love lost back when Babcock left. I think everyone was happy to see him go because they were just tired of his act. They were tired of his Mike Babcock act. You know?
Well, you know, you have your Habs fan shelf life quotient that you use some time in dictating coaches and managers across multiple sports. There's no question that I'm kind of impressed he lasted as long as he did, because it seemed like in the last 3 or 4 years, the act had grown a bit thin, and even though they were still the great consistent Red Wings, there was no doubt that players were not nearly responding as well as they did in the early part of his tenure.
Yeah, that's natural in sports. I'm not, Babcock is one of the best coaches. I was just giving it to you a little bit, just giving it a little twisty and seeing what you'd do with it. Just Twist.
Twisting the Babcock knife.
Yes,
he is the untouchable one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Give me your wallet.
So we'll see what happens this evening. I mean, I'm genuinely curious. If Michelinie ends up struggling, it could be the beginning of the Calvin Picard era in Toronto.
Yeah.
And we all know you want to see another great backup goaltender fall flat on his face, the way it's been going on for the last 15 years around these parts.
Yeah, yeah. Only in Toronto will a backup goalie get his own underwear line.
Listen, it's important to know that in the case of emergencies, in a pinch when you need diapers, that's what your backup goalie basically is.
They weren't diapers. He's,
you know, your backup goalie is that guy that you want to get you those key wins. And I'll tell you something, if Michelinie and Picard end up giving the Leafs some extra wins, it could be the difference between them finishing on the fringes or going in with home ice advantage for the first two rounds of the playoffs.
Did you call Calvin Picard best backup goaltender in the NHL?
I'm calling him an upper echelon backup goaltender.
No, because I just thought of one who's actually probably the best backup goaltender in the NHL, and that's former Montreal Canadian Mike Condon. The reason why I bring it up is not because I'm bragging. It's because I actually think that he'd be better than Montoya, who was playing tonight for the Montreal Canadiens. So yet another move by Mark Bergevin that is kind of coming back to haunt them.
It sounds like it. Although I'll be very curious to see how the team responds. They've got their backup goalie, who's been maligned somewhat. They've got no momentum whatsoever against a hungry team, as you pointed out at the start of this wonderful banter session. And I'm seriously wondering what's going to happen if your team loses. That being said, I'm predicting that they win this evening. I expect a minor miracle on the Californian shores.
That would be a minor miracle, because Montreal just does not fare well in California. And especially on the second half of a back-to-backer, it's a tough ask to see Montreal win. I want to see it, but I don't think it's going to happen. It's going to be bad. I think it's going to be bad.
You know, during this whole time, I'm thinking, it sounds to me like you're coming down with a cold. Am I right?
Yes.
Well, I hope after tonight, you won't have pneumonia.
Wow. Stunning.
So here we are, gently sailing along the smooth season that so far is the Toronto Maple Leafs 2017-2018 regular season. And one can't help but wonder whether or not we're going to start losing our minds with every subsequent winning streak. Currently, you can find an article on Sportsnet where the Maple Leafs are suddenly being considered the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. And you stop and say to yourself, wow, this is an amazing amount of hype and desire and wishful thinking. Because if there's one thing we've noticed this year, it's that this team still has a long way to go. And although they've been playing top-ranked hockey and beating some really elite teams, a lot of those games that we've seen so far could easily have swung the other way if not for the fact that this team has found a resiliency in keeping it together that we haven't seen in previous years. Gone are the days where the Maple Leafs would go out on the road and find a way to lose 2 out of 3 on a West Coast swing up in the Prairie Provinces or through the dreaded East Coast corridor of the Rangers and Bruins. And suddenly we're seeing the types of heroic performances reflective of a team with a lot of character and a lot of depth. And of course, when you can get a Connor Brown to step up for Mitchell Marner and get the kind of results this team has been getting, all you can say to yourself is, why not? Maybe they are the favorites to win the Stanley Cup after all. Look what they've done, and look what they're doing, and look where they're trending.
One 4-1 win-loss record. 3.56 goals against average. 885 save percentage. These are terrible numbers for an NHL goaltender. These are the numbers of Carey Price. And these are terrible numbers for Carey Price. But when you look at this, this is actually a good thing for Carey Price. And you might be asking yourself, what the hell is Kamal talking about? How can these numbers be good for Carey Price? Well, I'll tell you why. These numbers aren't reflective of who Carey Price is. Carey Price is a 2.20 goals against average goaltender. Carey Price is a .920 save percentage goalie. When Carey Price gets back to being Carey Price, things will look good for the Montreal Canadiens. Carey Price will help turn this slump around. Now, you're probably asking, when's this going to happen? Hopefully soon. Let's take a look at the schedule. Tonight, Montreal plays the LA Kings. Al Montoya's manning the pipes tonight. Back-to-back? Doesn't look too good for Al, but let's move forward. Friday night, Carey Price will probably be back in the pipes. And it's Montreal versus Anaheim. Carey Price versus John Gibson. Carey Price is a better goaltender than Gibson, so maybe that's where Carey will turn things around. Let's move to Tuesday, Florida versus Montreal. Bobby Lou generally performs well in his hometown, so that'll be a big test. Thursday night, next Thursday, sees LA in Montreal now. Jonathan Quick versus Carey, that's a good goaltending battle. quick as a good goalie, but Price is generally regarded as better, so maybe that's the time where Carey will turn things around. Saturday night sees the Rangers in Montreal. Henrik Lundqvist generally does not do well during the regular season in Montreal, so maybe that's the time where Carey turn things around. Ooh, how about here? October 30th, Montreal in Ottawa. Yes, I'm moving way ahead in the schedule. Anderson does pretty well against Carey, so maybe that's, again, that's another maybe. How about here? November 2nd in Minnesota. Well, that's a big test. Devin Dubnyk is a big, good goalie. That's a big test for Carey and the Montreal Canadiens. Here it is. November 4th, the Montreal Canadiens in Winnipeg. Steve Mason. Steve Mason versus the Montreal Canadiens. Steve Mason is going to be the savior to help break this Montreal Canadiens slump. Steve Mason will help bring a victory to Carey Price's ledger. This is it. The Montreal Canadiens beat the Winnipeg Jets November 4th. Book it.